Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bing bong, bing bong, bing bong, bing bing, bada bing bong, bing bing, bing bing,
bada
bing bong, bing bing, bing bing, bing
bing, bing bing. Oh, you're doing James Bond.
Did you not understand? Did you not hear
it? I didn't know what you were doing.
Yeah. What about my little fingers I was doing? I was doing some gun fingers.
James Bond doesn't do gun fingers. He uses a real gun, a real tiny little gun.
Oh, like a toy gun, like a cap gun.
No, is that, you know, he's got
like
that
a Home
tiny,
Alone gun.
He's got that tiny little gun that he's been married to for 60 years or whatever.
He loves a tiny little gun. I love a tiny little gun.
I bet you bloody do. You'd hope so, at least. What are we doing this week?
Hello, this is just a podcast where we recommend you things to watch, read, and listen to. My name is Claire. James is here also.
You know how I'd
we're
love,
married.
That's true, but you know how I'd love to open this show? I'd love to say, welcome to Suggestible, the award-winning Australia's most popular podcast. Something, some variation on that.
You know what? Me too. Last week I was all, oh, I don't know about this. And then this week I'm like, women power. Back yourself, woman. We would love you to vote for us in the Australian Podcasting Awards. Please vote for us.
Link below. All you got to do is put in an email address. They will not spam you with garbage, probably.
No, it's totally free. It takes literally 5 seconds.
Yep, you can do it anywhere in the world. Some people have been doing it for multiple email addresses, which we
don't condone. I feel bad about that.
Yeah.
No, but please vote for us because we would love that. And we've done this show a lot. Through the pandemic.
How many episodes have we done?
We've done over 100.
That's 2 years or something.
Yeah, long time.
Mm.
But also, I have to say this. We have the best bloody listeners. I think people who are Suggestible fans are often fans of the Weekly Planet, but they really find their home at Suggestible.
Okay, I'll say
they're
this then.
The creme de la creme of your listeners.
Maybe that's true. So you're going with the carrot. I'm going to go with the stick. If you don't vote for us, we're not going to do the Sex and the City recaps. Starts on December 9th. We're planning on doing it. I guess we're probably going to drop it into this feed maybe.
Yeah, I was thinking, oh, and I came up with a name. It's not
what
that exciting.
It?
Suggestible in the City.
Awful. But I'm married to it now.
And just like Guestable.
That's better. They're both terrific.
Or what about, and just Suggestible, no.
Just, why don't people write in?
Just Suggestible.
Give us a suggestion.
I thought Suggestible in the City was great. And then I realized one of my favorite podcasts of the last year or so has been Dolly Alderton's Sentimental in the City.
Oh.
So okay. I feel like we would be, you know, taking that. However, also part of me was like, but it's great. But yeah, also we would take recommendations for names for She's Balls.
Should we get started? Do you want
to suggest like that?
That's pretty good.
That's
but
a good
again. Name. Any other recommendations are
correct.
Welcome.
And we will be doing this over our summer break a little bit.
That's right. We're not going to work except for the Sex of the City recap.
I know, because it's my Force Awakens.
That's right.
I am so excited for it and it's hyping me up. I saw the trailer. Sarah Jessica Parker's face looks a bit old and it was so great to see because women looking
it was
their
like
age
when the Emperor returned. It's when the Emperor returned in the new Star Wars and everyone was like, that's great. He looks terrible, but he's still getting out there. Good on him.
No, it doesn't. No, and this is, I actually really want to be serious about this for 1 minute.
Okay.
One of the reasons why I am so excited about And Just Like That, even though potentially it could be terrible, the second movie was terrible and corny and awful and actually offensive, to be honest. Mm. And they're not having Kim Cattrall reprise the role of Samantha, which also, goodness, terrible.
Excuse me.
Are you right there? Coughing through my Force Awakens commentary.
Sorry, apologies.
But one of the reasons that I'm so excited for this is that Sarah Jessica Parker is an incredible-looking woman. And I'm sure potentially she's had some work done, who knows. But she looks ostensibly like a woman in her 50s.
Yeah.
Right? And so does Cynthia Nixon, I think, as well. And she's actually let her hair go grey as well, which
powerful
I think
stuff.
Is just – I know that's sarcasm. But
No, I'm with you. Look at me. Look at me. I look like a ghost.
Yeah. No, but so often, though, men get to age on TV and film, and they just get to age and still be sexy. Like, we're going to talk about the Bond film today. And look, Daniel Craig is an example. He's visibly aged. I mean, he looks amazing for his age, but he's visibly aged, but he still gets to be the sexy action hero with the hot, you know, women everywhere.
Hot women everywhere.
And I just... it's so refreshing and grounding to see women whose faces on like on screen, whose faces I actually recognize, particularly women that I've really admired. And that's not to say that women who have had a lot of Botox or other injectables or whatever they've done, that isn't to say that that's a terrible thing to do. I think everyone has to make their
own
choices.
Whatever makes you happy.
Yeah, and also, you know, some of those things can give people a real boost and help assist in their career, particularly in this industry. So I totally get that. It's just it offers another choice for women and it celebrates age, and I think that's so great. And I'm really hopeful that And Just Like That will celebrate the passing of time and what actually happens when women enter into that decade.
Sure.
That's what I'm hoping for. I probably...
Well, I hope it's bad so I can make fun of it.
Anyway, tiny art no, crushed.
I think the worst thing would be is if it's like... and I always say this, if it's middling, you know, middling is like boring to talk about, you know, it's like, it's not interesting to watch or it's you not either fun.
It's just like,
but if it's really good or really terrible, fascinating stuff.
Yeah. Well, I cannot tell from the trailer where it's going to land.
Yeah.
I really don't. I think it's got the potential that it could be really good. It's got the potential that it could be spectacularly corny and bad, because I know even the first film, just even though I loved that
there's
film.
There's not much to it really, is there?
Well, there's some really iconic moments and costuming is really cool, but I also think that there's some very corny moments that kind of miss the mark about why fans are watching. Yes, they're watching for the shoes and all of that stuff, but I don't know.
I think the problem with that movie as well is it doesn't really do anything at the end. Like, they're pretty much back in the same spot. Like, they're going to get married and then that whole thing falls apart, and there is that really heartbreaking moment where, like, you know, she's on her own and then at the end she's just like, but we did get married and Samantha
again?
Or whatever Samantha. Oh, no, Samantha broke up with what's his name, but who cares?
Yeah, she did, but I know, and I think that because even when we're talking about, you know, that trajectory of a romantic love story, the character of Mr. Big in real life, I just don't think that they would actually end up together, which like
– yeah.
But then I also – part of me thinks, but don't we want to watch this for a little bit
and
of
also,
fairy tale?
Aren't they both awful? Like, better than ruin each other than be out in the world ruining other people, but I hope he dies in the show. Anyways, do you want to talk about James Bond? I've already talked about it on the Weekly Planet
podcast. I do want to talk about it, correct, yeah.
Let's go.
Excellent. So – I have some thoughts.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear them?
I would love to hear your
thoughts. Okay, here's the things I've written down first up. Billie Eilish theme song. Bloody brilliant. Haunting. Haunting?
Haunting.
Haughty.
Haunting, here's
no,
a who.
It's haunting. It slowly builds to a climax in just the right Bond-esque way.
Ooh.
And the opening titles are just everything you want, with the moving pictures and all the gloomy falling things. It's got a little bit of a thing like Mad Men to it. You know, the opening scene in Mad Men has that same vibe. You're immediately like, ooh, I'm in a crisp Bond world.
Oh, it's so crisp here.
And she's just, it's beautiful. I hadn't heard her sing like that before, and it was just gorgeous. So that, to me, stand out. Other thing I loved, piercing blue eyes.
Oh, do you think they enhanced much of it for the movie?
Oh, yes, of course. The colouring of this film in general, the cinematography, just amazing.
Yeah.
And the colouring of his eyes in all the different scenes, just so great.
I think
great.
There's also a reason behind, which we can talk about in spoilers if we're doing spoilers. There's
can
a reason
we do
behind.
Spoilers?
Yeah, let's just do spoilers.
Okay.
It's been out around the world for like 2 months.
Right. And Colleen's going to put a link in the time code, because I have many feelings about a lot of things that are spoilers. So.
Because, and this is spoilers, because he has a daughter and they had the same eyes. So I think they really like accentuated the
blue eyes.
The blue
eyes. Yeah, because they both have spectacular blue eyes. Just in case you haven't seen it and you need a refresher, No Time to Die is a 2021 spy film and the 25th in the James Bond series, produced by Eon Productions. Mm-hmm. It stars Daniel Craigle. No, his name's Craig, but he does look like a Craig. In his fifth and final outing as the fictional British MI6, sorry.
No, it's M16, like the machine gun. Also, are you not counting the video games where he voiced the character as well?
No, I mean, hey.
The video game Bloodstone?
No, I'm not counting that. I don't know. Am I counting it? I don't play video games. I'm sure they're great.
How dare you?
I know they're great. I know people love them. There's no shade on video games, but no, we're talking about the films.
Okay.
It's directed by Kari Joji Fukunaga,
mm-hmm.
from a screenplay by Neil Purvis, Robert Wade, and Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
What is interesting is because Purvis and Wade have been writing on the James Bond movies since the 90s, and I don't know whether they're really good or really bad. Because they fluctuate so wildly in quality. I'm like, how much are these guys contributing? I honestly can't tell. Because they're on all of the films, good, bad. I can't tell. I don't know what's going on.
So are they like older blokes?
They'd have to be,
who
yeah.
are kind of there to kind of bring in the bits of Bond that we all recognise. And
I
then
guess.
They get excellent other script writers
both,
to come in.
I think
actually
so.
There's an even longer list of script writers.
Yeah.
I think there was like 15.
Sorry, they
something.
Started on The World Is Not Enough. Which was in 99. So
which is a
doing
Pierce Brosnan?
Yes, yeah. which is okay. So they've been doing it for 20 years. They've worked on the best and the worst.
So it's hard
so
to
strange.
Know. So
yeah.
interesting, isn't it? Yeah, because they do really wildly fluctuate. I mean, I even think the first one of these with Daniel Craig was my favourite.
Yeah.
Casino Royale. Actually, I don't know. I'm torn. I actually do think this is my favourite now. Because of the female characters, which I'll get to. Now, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, for those who don't remember, if you've been living under a rock, wrote Fleabag, which is one of my favourite TV shows of all time. And she is just, you know, obviously very celebrated, particularly 2020 was like her year. Now, Phoebe was brought on, I think, to really deliver fully developed female characters that also invert the tropes of the Bond girl archetype.
Oh, okay.
Which has been a staple since the franchise's 1962 big screen debut with Sean Connery.
Sean Connery.
Correct.
That's my Sean Connery.
Sean Connery.
I hit my wife, I'm Sean Connery.
Oh, no.
He does.
So just in brief, in this film, Bond, who has left active service with MI6, mm-hmm. is recruited by the CIA to find a kidnapped scientist, which leads to a showdown with a powerful adversary. And now they kind of find him in Cuba,
yes.
sort of hanging out by the beach.
Fishing,
he's, you know,
having a good time.
Correct, exactly. Though the opening sequence is very dramatic.
Oh, it's very good. It's one of the best opening sequences I think they've had.
Correct.
The action in general in this is very good. They're all very good and very varied as well.
They are, yeah. absolutely. So it opens with him with his returning love interest, Madeline, who's played by Lea Seydoux, mm-hmm. and she is brilliant. Her outfits in this as well. I want to talk about the costumes in a minute because some of my favourite things about the costumes.
Oh, my goodness.
Amazing. So she is now a psychiatrist and it actually opens with a flashback of her childhood. What did you think of that?
Good.
Sequence.
Yeah, well, the thing is about the character of Madeline Swan, who she plays. Mm. She was introduced as like the new love interest in the last movie. And I don't think you've seen Spectre, but it's not very good. And I didn't believe for a second that he would give it all up for this woman. It's like he doesn't even seem like he likes her or knows who she is. Yeah. But I think this movie from the very get-go completely turned all that around. Mm. And again, from that last movie, that wasn't a slight on her. Or him even. It's just it didn't work at all. When he's like, I'm walking away, I'm not going to do this anymore. It's like, why? Like he has a chance at the end to shoot his brother, you know, his brother in the end,
yeah.
you know, you see he's got the one eye or whatever. And he's just like, I just won't. And he retires. And it's like, why wouldn't you? You've killed like 400 people. Why wouldn't you kill this guy? Like this is the guy if you're going to kill anybody. But as I said, it's good.
Why do you think that they make it believable that Madeline and he are, you know, he would give it all up?
You know,
for her?
I don't even know what it is this time around. I think the scenes between them have more weight. It's like they're in a beautiful vista, which helps.
Oh, it's like, you know, European holiday,
yeah,
isn't it? It's just spectacular, the scenery.
I don't know what it is, honestly.
If I did,
I guess they do it in every movie. But
can I tell you
one
of my first up, I think the fact that they open with her with this tragic backstory, mm-hmm. where she's also
yep.
very capable, and
yep.
this is a spoiler, but she ends up, her mother is shot by this guy,
yeah.
and then she and she's all alone in this kind of like icy wilderness,
mm.
and she ends up completely, you know, shooting him and protecting herself, and she must be like 10 or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, she's clearly like well-trained.
Yeah. So they set her up immediately as his equal rather
yeah.
than as just like a sexy hot woman,
mm.
and that immediately makes her more interesting. And then the fact that she then becomes a psychiatrist, you think not only is she really capable and incredibly beautiful, but she's incredibly smart.
Yes.
And I think that is also not something that you see often necessarily in the Bond of old.
Yeah.
Though, which is one of the reasons I liked Casino Royale.
I think even in some of the newer ones, it's not like...
No, they're, you know, women are baubles, whereas yeah. she becomes a very complex character. And then the love scenes between them at the start, they're very vulnerable and she looks messy-haired and I don't know, yeah, there's something very believable about that chemistry, which I think they've really created really well. And I wonder how much Phoebe had a hand in that too.
Yeah.
So the other female characters which I really enjoyed, MI6 field agent turned executive assistant Moneypenny is played by Naomi Harris.
Moneypenny's great. It's kind of a shame that they put her on the desk because I don't know if you remember Skyfall. She's a field agent and she shoots James Bond by accident. And so she gets moved to the desk and she decides to stay there. And the reason she stays there is because in like traditionally Moneypenny is on the desk. She's like a secretary. And I think they do more with that with these modern series. But I think you could move her off that. You know what I mean? You don't need to have her on the desk. And I think, again, they do more with it than they have in the past because Moneypenny is pretty much designed to come in. For James Bond to come in and he hits on her and she like batters him away. And that's like the role that she normally has. I'd like to see more. And I like Naomi Harris as well. So
I think she played this really well too. I think she was really capable and excellent in the role. And there's two new kick-ass contemporary operatives. Naomi, who's played by Lashana Lynch, and Paloma, who's played by Ana de Armas. Now, I have so many opinions about both of these two women because they're kind of my favourite characters in this film.
Yeah.
Do you want to give us your opinion first?
They're both great. There was a big stink, not from everybody, but a lot of the internet.
A big stink?
Because they're like, they're replacing James Bond with a woman. How could they do it? Whatever. And as they go out of their way to clarify in this movie, she's replacing his, like she takes on his number. She's not James Bond. He's retired and the number gets passed on. It's the way it is. And so I thought she was great. And the other character is in it for like 15 minutes, maybe not even. And it's just this really fun action sequence. And then she just disappears. And both of them are terrific. And it's a shame that this universe is probably finished.
Oh, is it? They're not making another movie with Naomi as a star?
Traditionally, when, you know, without, they've never... We're doing spoilers. They've never killed a James Bond before, like officially.
Okay.
And what they normally do is they recast most people. They might keep M because Judi Dench is a carryover from the Brosnan movies, even though it's like a different continuity. But what they could completely reboot with a new James Bond and keep all of these core characters, I guess. But we don't know what they're going to do yet.
So we don't know if they're going to make her the lead character or whether they're...
I don't think they will. I kind of would like to explore a world without James Bond and just because I think there's enough people in this movie where you could move it forward.
I think so too.
But I don't know how well it would be received or even if MGM would want to do it because they're really protective of the brand. It's like it's controlled by a family. Like but like a couple of people by the Broccoli family at this point. And even though now it's all MGM, they're called the Broccoli family.
They call the Broccoli family. Yeah. They call the Broccoli family. I love that. Hello, I'm Mr. Broccoli.
MGM
is... This is my wife and Mrs. Broccoli. MGM. We like to eat greens and celebrate together.
Exactly.
These are our teeny tiny broccoli trees.
MGM is owned by Amazon now, but they still have final say in everything.
This is our house. We live in a vegetable garden.
And I think they also would have seen that, like, there's been Jason Bourne spin-offs without Jason Bourne. They did one with Jeremy Renner. Didn't do well. There's been a Treadstone Jason Bourne series as well, which is I think it's an Amazon series where it's set in the world of Jason Bourne, but Jason Bourne is not in it, so they don't have Matt Damon. So I think they'd be reluctant to do anything outside of putting James Bond in it. I think the most they'll do is cast a person of colour. I don't think they'd go beyond that. And even then I have doubts that they'd even do that.
I hope that they do at least cast a person of colour. I would love them to. I would love to see a spin-off of Lashana Lynch. Hello, podcast dog. Mm. I didn't open the door. Should we open the door?
I'll open the door, yeah.
All right. Yeah, I would love to see a spin-off. A spin-off?
A spin-off.
A spin-off. That's my favourite kind of brioche. Do you like brioche, listener? I love brioche. It's delicious. Anyway, so... I hope they cast a person of colour at the very least.
Yeah.
Or someone with a different, diverse background.
I mean, people didn't like it when James Bond was blonde with this last one, so it should go really well.
But interestingly though, right, Daniel Craig was like in all of the lead up to this franchise with him in the character, everyone hated him and hated on him and thought he was going to be just woefully awful.
We covered them all recently, all the Craig ones from Caravan of Garbage. But, yeah, it was ridiculous. People were like, there's a moment where they revealed him and he stepped off a boat and he had to wear a life vest because you have to wear a life vest when you're on a boat. People were like, boo, he's a coward. Why doesn't he drown properly like a man or whatever? And it's like he has to wear it. He's not really James Bond. There's health and safety.
So weird. Is it because he's played a villain in other films?
Well, he wasn't super well known. He'd done like, he was in Layer Cake, which was a kind of a gangster movie. He was the villain in The Power of One. Have you ever seen The Power of One?
Yes, that's what I mean. Exactly. Yeah. That's where I remember him from. Do you think maybe that's a hangover of that?
Maybe. I don't know. I just think, there was the big thing was really that he was short. He was like 5'10", which is short for Bond because Bond's supposed to be like 6'1". And he's blonde. That was like the main thing. Yeah,
right.
Really. But I think he's one of the best, if not the best.
Yeah, he's definitely my favorite. Mm. Oh, I think
but
he's
awesome. To be fair,
his eyes are great.
I like all of them in different ways, and I think they all fit their particular era really well.
Yeah, Pierce Brosnan is peak 90s.
Yeah, totally. And look,
Sean Connery is of his era too, even though he has not a great track record with women. But you
people
know.
Are complicated, you know?
They are, exactly. No,
and I love Roger Moore because he's like silly and he's fun. And I like them all in different ways.
And there's a lot of which wouldn't hold up now, but I kind of love, like the double entendre that in those Roger Moore movies.
Yeah.
I love those. Oh, he's coming in for a landing or whatever he's about to like, you know.
And he's a million years old at the end. He just looks like a leather handbag at the end. He's so
but
old.
This is what I am talking about Sex and the City stuff, right? That men can look like a leather handbag and still be some of the most famous, iconic roles in the world.
Yeah.
And that's what all I want for women is that we are able to also look like leather handbags and still be sexy and wonderful.
I completely agree.
Okay, so I have some feels about the costuming.
Okay.
Can I talk to you about this? Because this is the other thing I love
about
these
two. What is this, Mason's bloody something-something?
Mason does love a costume. No, so my two favorite characters, Nomi and Paloma, I just love them. And I thought it was really interesting that Emmy-winning costume designer behind most of the costumes in this is called Sutirat Ann Lala. Mm-hmm. And she said some really interesting things. The first thing that she's quoted as saying is all of our lead female characters have a very particular strong professional angle. They're not just decorative side dishes.
Okay.
So in the history of Bond films, all the women have been incredibly glamorous and elegant and very much on display in one way or another, even if they have a more active role in the plot or as a double agent. Mm-hmm. So she had her work cut out for her to create costuming that was functional and allowed them to be mobile while also sexy. Now, my two favorite outfits, when we meet Nomi for the first time, she meets Bond in like a Jamaican nightclub and she's wearing a ruched white cotton gauze halter top with ruffles, sculptural overlays and eyelet detail with wide leg pants and these like kick-ass flat shoes. So
very
she kind of moves in this really liquid way as well. And she just looks comfortable in her own skin. Which has just meant that when you watch that film, you immediately believe that she could also be a double agent.
Mm.
And she picks him up on the back of her motorbike and kind of whisks him away to his beachside joint, which I love, by the way.
Incredible.
I just want to go and live there. That looks amazing. And then when she whips off her wig to reveal who she is, it's just such a great moment. And the fact that she's wearing pants is just like revelation.
You love pants and pockets.
I bloody do, but honestly...
Look at Roger Moore in his final James Bond role.
Yeah, he does.
Even with his leather jacket, his leathery face. You can't even tell where his face starts and his jacket ends.
It's so true. That's funny.
Again, no shade. Love him. Big fan.
Correct. Yeah. Exactly. Anyway, so the fact that she's wearing pants in that scene, I just love that whole outfit. Just looks amazing. And you can Google images of her riding the motorbike. She just looks
awesome.
What I love about her character too is that she's cheeky and sarcastic as well as really sexy and just completely capable. And it's obvious that she would be given the 007 number because she's just so good.
Or it was just a spare number and they gave it to her. But yes.
Yeah.
What I also think is interesting about her is, and I talked about this on the Weekly Planet podcast, my more successful podcast, is that she is like him like 20 years ago. She's all the things that he was in like the first movie, you know, just kind of brash and arrogant and confident and like clearly insecure and like finding her feet at the same time.
Yeah.
All of these things are like a him. So I think he recognises a lot of himself in her, and probably vice versa, because she's probably like, this is my future, just being a drunk. He drinks so much in this, I love it. He just doesn't stop
drinking. Yeah, because you said that to me, that he's an alcoholic in the book. And once you said that, I'm just like, yeah, he's bloody in the middle of a battle scene and he's scoffing down shots or whatever.
Yeah.
And totally. In that way that an alcoholic could do it, where you could be like completely cut and still be completely functional.
If anything, it would make him feel better.
Yeah, exactly. And that brings me to actually my other favorite character, yeah. Paloma. So we meet her in a rambling, decadent Art Deco style theater where she's wearing a black floor length plunging A-line slip dress with sky high slits, which was designed by Michael Losordo. Can you hear how much I love the costumes?
No.
Bond is immediately drawn to her as she's so eye catching. And the joy of the film for me was watching someone so incredibly gorgeous be so incredibly capable in battle. Now, her dress is like so plunging and she's got sky high slits on either side, but she just, her fight scenes, she's just like at once like bubbly and you feel like she's been given the title of sort of airhead, or she's like super nervous and quite young.
See, I don't even know if she is or she's just putting it on,
yeah,
you know?
To be kind of
because once
drawing
once it kicks off, she doesn't flinch like at all.
Not even
because she's
a shake,
like, I've been doing
she?
It for like 3 weeks and it's, I don't know, maybe she's just exceptionally talented, but it feels like she's just lying. She's just like messing with him. Yeah.
I actually feel more, maybe that's true, but I think maybe it's more that she's like incredibly capable and good at what she does, but she drinks with him like in a few, they like just swig martinis back together. I feel like she's one of those people that's really super carefree and cavalier about the way they go into things, and she just looks like she's having so much fun.
Yeah.
And not has a death wish, but just like doesn't take herself too seriously or the world too seriously, and is like there kicking ass and shooting people and just like drinking dry martinis and swanning through ballrooms and just being like, isn't this bloody fun? I'm on an adventure.
And they also, there's like a mutual respect, and when they leave, they don't kiss. They're just like, this has been great. I had a great time.
Exactly. And he just was like, you were excellent. And she was. Like, she was. There was no moment of like, oh, what do we do?
Yeah.
Which, as I've said before, and I've talked about more in my podcast, Taunts, so often Reese Witherspoon points out that line, well, what do we do now? And there's none of that.
Yeah.
And then none of that. It's so good. And it's the same actually with him and Madeline as well. There's none of that of her being like, what do I do now? Like, it's much more complicated than that. And she, in moments, you know, has the gun. She's the one that shoots the bad guy. She is there protecting her daughter, who, and this is a spoiler, turns out to be obviously his daughter.
Yep.
And you just believe that she's a complicated and at once vulnerable as well person who does also want his protection.
Mm.
And there's nothing wrong with that and being vulnerable and wanting
especially
protection.
Especially because she's pregnant. And they telegraph it at the start, because when they separate, she puts her hand on her stomach and you see it just for like a second.
Oh.
When she gets on the train.
Yeah, at the very beginning.
Like,
yeah, exactly. And I think that's what I loved so much about it. But anyway, also just love the bloody costumes. Now, the final moment.
Oh, okay.
That I bloody loved.
She loved it, everyone.
I've repeated that many times. Bond's tuxedo, and actually there's two costumes.
I thought
Bond's.
You didn't like the tuxedo as much.
No, it's grown on me.
Oh, okay. Because I mentioned on the Weekly Planet, I'm like, you're more of a fisherman outfit.
Well,
then.
I am. That's what I was getting to.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I could see the design, and Lala said, I spent a good day looking through all of the fabric samples available at Tom Ford. And she said, I went into a room with 15 or 20 giant binders that were a foot thick with fabric samples on each page, thousands of fabric samples to hone in on what I thought would be the iconic suit for him. And when you look back at pictures of it, I mean, there is not a finer suit out there. It's something about the weight of the fabric. It's amazing.
I think it's the – I mean, Mason talked about this, because Mason's all about this, like fabrics and textures and lapel cuts and all that shit that I don't understand. But he – like it's probably his best – wardrobe in general, I think, in this, because we always, again, the thing we always talk about is how he normally's got like a teeny tiny suit, like he looks like he's sewn into it like a corset, you know, because he's enormous, you know, and so, but I think they really found a good balance of like casual and formal attire in this one.
Totally. And the fisherman outfit is my favorite.
Oh, yeah. You went, fwah.
Yeah.
Look at this, you said to yourself. Wow, my goodness.
Well, it's just there's something about seeing him like barefoot in a scrumpled old T-shirt and shorts, kind of all tanned and sandy footed, like carrying fish and just like walking around a tropical island looking very comfortable in his own skin and like someone who's been kind of like lounging around, working hard in the heat, getting fish and then drinking in dark bars. You know, I don't know. I just loved it. And they just chose the most perfect old T-shirt and these like navy shorts.
Yeah, perfectly chosen. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, which you said to me and I thought was so interesting, or maybe I read it somewhere. I'd never thought about that. Like, as a film producer or a costume, oh no, it was a friend of mine. I met one of her friends who was a costume designer and she said she could spend 2 weeks just looking for one old T-shirt.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just to have the exact right neckline with the exact right fabric, and then you age it in this like, in this way. Yeah. It's a whole art form.
It's almost like a little midriff top he's wearing as well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, overall, I really enjoyed it. Well, that's basically our whole episode.
Is it?
Yeah, it's like 30 minutes.
I also thought, again, I liked how they killed him, and I think because this is very much like a closed universe. All the other James Bonds are connected. They're all essentially the same guy. Like, that's the idea, and this one is entirely separate, and I think they really, and in doing that, they were able to like obliterate him at the end, which I really appreciated, because you know, why not? There's been 25 movies, you know, officially. There's been a couple others unofficially, but yeah, just kill him in one. That's fine, that's okay. And I think also, like, a guy like this, whether he exists in the real world or whether he's, you know, the fictional man, this is probably how he was. You know, he would die. He would end up this way. You know, a guy like that doesn't last forever. You know, he can't. He's just going to take a bullet one day.
He's like one of those old dog that's missing a leg and missing an eyeball and like still limping on.
It's also interesting because unlike some of the other ones, they don't really acknowledge how old he's getting often. But this one, like, and they kind of do it really quickly. They do it in like the second one where they're like, you're a dinosaur Bond, you're from a different age or whatever. But they really lean into like, yeah, he's like 50. Like, it's he's got a bad knee and he's a drunk. And I just I think you can do things with him with vulnerability of getting older and like being attached to people, because once you remove that stuff, he's not as interesting to me, at least, you know?
Yeah.
I feel. And look, I love the James Bond stories that are just like a standalone adventure where there's a whatever and he has to stop a thing. But with these ones, they've always leaned on like a lore, and they'd always tied into the previous ones heavily, which the other ones didn't really do. And I think this last movie was a really play to that strength.
Completely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, it is. It's really good and so worth watching. And it's just escapism too, right? Like, it's such a pleasure to be in that world. And I'm not a big action movie violence kind of person, but I loved it. Actually, one person we didn't touch on was Jeffrey Wright's character, Felix Leiter.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's the new Commissioner Gordon in the new Batman movie as well. Yeah. Love that guy. He's terrific. So, yeah, because he hasn't been in a Bond movie since 2008. And you also get the sense that, like, even though you haven't seen him since 2008, they're mates, like they know each other and they've got little games that they play and in jokes and whatever.
Yeah, so. And there's this really witty kind of back and forth, and there's a scene where they're just leaning on a bar stool while he's smoking a cigar and it's just, they're kind of like, yeah, we're going on an adventure.
Yeah.
And I love it.
It's fun. And I like how Bond's a lunatic. And I was also paranoid about everybody, because he should be.
Because he kind of is a serial killer.
He's a serial killer. Well, that's what I'm repeating myself.
Yeah, but that's exactly the bad guy in this is saying, right?
James Bond, with probably the exception of Roger Moore, like, is a psychopath with the sheen of like modern civility and like, you know, high class and all these kinds of things. But he's not really that. Like, he's a fucking animal, like dressed up, you know what I mean?
Yes, correct.
And again, he does have like emotions and he can feel things or whatever, but he's just using like Queen and Country to murder people because he's a fucking lunatic.
Yeah, totally.
Like, he has no empathy for most people, like at all, doesn't care.
Which is so interesting that he's such a loved character.
But I think that's what's good about him as well, because he sucks. Like, that's what
so
I
he's
like
complicated.
About him.
Yeah. And he's not all good or all bad either.
And again, like, unlike, you know, the real MI6, which is kind of like a pack of buffoons, it seems like a lot of the time, like, he is necessary in this fictional world. You know what I mean? A guy, you need a guy like that. Again, in a fictional world, to do these things, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and I wonder whether you need a guy like that in the real world and we just don't know about it.
Probably, you know?
You know, the more I get into sort of Russian espionage and reading about, I don't know, the underbelly of all of the government organizations and things, I think, Jesus, lots we don't know. Anyway, that's it for the Bond.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I wanted to just do a few little tiny Christmas
Well, maybe
things.
I could do a recommendation, Claire.
All right, go for it.
Do you want me to?
Yeah, why not?
I can do a quick one. How much time
we've done
we got?
A long episode, but that's right, cool. Fine. We'll just do a long one.
I can say this for next week. It's fine. I don't mind.
Nah, let's go for it.
I watched a show, a YouTube original. It's 6 episodes. It's called Best Shape of My Life, and it stars one Willard Carroll Smith Jr. Do you know who that is, Claire?
It's Will Smith. It's Will Smithy. And I saw this come up and I'm so excited to watch it.
So Will Smith famously like got out of shape. He put on 20 pounds or a bit more because he's in that Venus and Serena Williams movie that's coming up. So he kind of put on a bit of weight and then COVID happened and he didn't drop it or whatever. And you would have seen the images of him like being out of shape that he posted online or whatever. And he's got a bit of a belly and whatever. But even then he's still...
He's like Will
looks
Smith.
Like a normal man. Like yeah, he looks exactly. like a normal man looks. So the idea is that he wants to drop like a pound a week for 20 weeks to get back into the best shape of his life. And also at this point he's like it's like 51, 52 or whatever. He's also writing a book at the same time. His memoirs, which are probably now available. So that's a big part of this as well. So the idea is to break him down as a person and get a peek inside about like his public persona and his private persona and all these strengths and his faults and what drives him and what his father was like and his mother and what he's like as a parent as well and his marriage. Look, it's mostly about him selling a book, if I'm honest. It's mostly that. It's less about like, and then I did this and I ate this and whatever and I got in shape via this and I used this particular method. Like you see him kind of exercising, but if you're looking for like proper tips, that's not what this is. And it does honestly like feel contrived and like very manufactured in places, even though it's like, we're seeing behind the curtain of Will Smith and look, he's having a breakdown or whatever and he's had enough and it's like how much of this is real and whatever, but it's still all like, you know, pretty entertaining. It's interesting to see like him at this age because, you know, he still is like one of the biggest stars in the world. His movies like used to consistently make bank and now it's a bit more hit and miss, you know what I mean? Like his skills have never been in doubt in terms of like his acting ability. But his movies aren't always big and you see him kind of struggling with that nowadays and just like personal things. And it's all in all, it's pretty interesting. Yeah. And it's not also a triumph in total. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of
a mix.
Spoiler, but it gets to the end and it's kind of like maybe this wasn't great, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh, I think they've got some very clever marketing teams around those guys. And also they are very smart themselves. I'm talking not just about Will Smith but also about Jada Pinkett Smith.
Oh, yeah. The whole family, they're all that way,
Fascinating. I mean, Jada Pinkett Smith does these things called the Red Table Talks on Facebook, which is kind of like a TV show on Facebook. And she's always talking about, you know, really hard-hitting kind of awkward conversations around race and culture and gender identity and marriage and sex. Exactly. Like she really goes there with it.
She goes there.
But also what's interesting is recently they kind of talked about how they've had an open marriage and their relationship and how she's had sex with other people and had a relationship with someone else. And, you know, all of that kind of stuff I think is really interesting.
What I think is interesting as well is that it's less advertised or publicly known, but he was also like they were split. Like he wasn't abstinent. Like he was also sleeping with other people.
Yeah.
They'd split, properly split or were on a break.
Yeah, but I actually think it's come out recently that they still have an open relationship.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, you're probably
and
right.
And that he...
Whatever works for you, I guess.
And that she doesn't believe in monogamy, I don't think, in the classic sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that's really interesting. I also find him fascinating for what you said about how he's got this kind of Prince of Bel-Air, funny, goofy, very likable, down-to-earth, warm persona, but then he's also got the complete other side of him, which is like this, like achieve at any cost, super driven,
and you find out where a lot of that all comes from as well. It's mostly his father, but
it always goes back to the parents. Oh god, what'll our kids be saying in 20 years? Oh, that sounds great. Where can we watch that?
It's on YouTube. They're like 20 minutes a piece. The episode,
The Best Shape of My Life.
Yeah,
cool.
But it's not, again, it's not about that.
Excellent.
It's about a book. And by the end, I'm like, maybe I'll get this book. I probably won't. But I'm like, this is a pretty good advertisement for a book that I probably won't read.
They're very clever with their marketing.
What they're doing. And the cover's really nice. They reveal the cover and I'm like, it's a pretty good cover, actually.
Excellent. Well, anything with Will Smith on it, ooh. Do you know who one of the movies I love with him in it is I, Robot?
Oh, really?
I just really enjoyed that movie. I'm not quite sure why. I just really enjoyed it.
I don't think I've ever, I don't know, I have seen it, but I've only seen it once. I never watched it again.
I haven't seen it in a long time, but I used to watch it quite a bit. I just really enjoyed it.
Mm.
Now, a few listeners have written in to me.
Who's
suggestiblepod at gmail.com saying that they would like Christmas present recommendations. And just to continue my theme, because I've already done this previously, I thought I would recommend a few little more ones for anyone out there. Get your little hot little ears out with your little pens, because we're only, 6 weeks till Christmas? So, you know, but it's a good amount of time to get yourself organized, because I'm all about get your present buying in early so you can get something thoughtful and really knock your socks off your partner or loved ones.
Absolutely.
You know, I think this is more for particularly maybe like a close partner, a romantic partner, or a parent, someone that you think, you know. Anyway.
A romantic parent.
These are my recommendations. So one is a book that I'll talk about on another episode called Love Stories by Trent Dalton. Just trust me, it's brilliant. You need to buy it. And it's sort of the book of its time, of our time at the moment. It's what we all need to read. And he's brilliant. He wrote Boy Swallows Universe and also All Our Shimmering Skies, both of which are excellent. And this book is no exception, but I'll talk about it on another podcast, but I would just buy that as a gift.
Cool.
The second one is a locket that I bought for myself because I was feeling down in the dumps. And it's a little pricey, so this is for someone very special if you've got the budget for it. It's from a jewelry brand called Astley & Clark. And now they're a UK British ethically made and sourced luxury designer jewelry brand.
Still good. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Love it.
They source all of their stones and demi-fine jewelry from ethical sources, and they also support charity as well. So there's two long-term partners they have, Their World, which is a charity that champions women and children's causes in the developing world, particularly in the educating of women and girls.
Very good.
And they also support the World Land Trust in their mission to protect areas and raise awareness to protect our planet. So they do good, and they're also incredibly beautiful jewelry. Now, there's lots of options, but one I'm recommending for someone very special, and you will get so many brownie points with this. It's a locket. My one is it's the medium-sized sterling silver, and it has a little sapphire in the center of it, but there's lots of different designs. You can get one with a world on it or with in different, you know, colored metal or whatever.
Yeah.
But inside, you can choose two photos to put in, and then on the back, they do an engraving for you. And it's just so beautiful. Even our son was like, whoa. That's cool.
That's cool, Mum, he said.
That's cool. So I put a photo of you and our daughter and our son on it with that your name's engraved on the back, but you could put anyone inside there or any special image or photo. And it arrived in like 3 days.
Did it really?
Yeah, it was so quick. The postage was amazing. The turnaround was amazing too. Their customer service is really good. So I just would recommend if you're looking for something extra special, it would be great as like an anniversary present even or a birthday present. They have lots of beautiful jewelry at different price points too. So you can go over and have a look at
have
all the different ones. But yeah, I would totally recommend that. And they ship to Australia. Amazing.
Cool.
Yeah. So they're my sort of two cheeky little Christmas recommendations.
Just a cheeky little look.
Just a cheeky little, just a few little tips.
Do you know people can actually give this podcast a cheeky little review, Claire? After they've already voted for us.
Are you
in the Australian
reals?
Podcast Awards. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's me.
This is from Penelope Q, who says, my fiancé and my new fave with one issue.
What's the issue?
Just do it in apps. It's crazy how you can do this as well. This isn't Penelope saying it. This is me saying it. But now this is Penelope. First off, Claire Tonti is the best friend every woman wishes she had.
Aww.
Funny, smart, empathetic, warm, and witty. I recommend her podcast Taunts for anyone who enjoys her here. James is pretty okay too. Just kidding, he's great also. Now, here's my issue. I discovered this podcast after hearing about it as a longtime listener of The Weekly Planet. I recommended it to my fiance, who listens to tons of podcasts and actually hosts his own Battle of the Network shows about TV from the 70s and 80s. Shameless plug. My problem is he also loves Suggestible and now always listens to it before me. He also listens to podcasts at 2x speed, so I don't really stand a chance, but it's on me, I guess. Time to set my alarm to get here first. Smiley face. Thank you for the fantastic work, Claire and James. There you go. Good stuff. Feel free to plug whatever you want in the reviews also. Oh,
that is the bloody nicest review.
So nice.
What was her name?
Penelope.
Penelope. Oh, you can be my friend any old day. You sound excellent. I want to have a wine with Penelope. She sounds awesome. See, I'm telling you, we have the best bloody listeners. On a side note of the Speed It Up podcast.
I can't do that.
Glennon Doyle. Yeah, me neither. Glennon Doyle posted the most hilarious video of her mum listening to her podcast, We Can Do Hard Things, in double time speed. And she didn't know that she had it on double time speed. So she'd spent 6 months listening to her daughter's show and didn't have the heart to tell her that she thought she spoke too fast.
That's great.
Makes me laugh so much.
That's awesome.
Yeah, anyway, so if you would like to write into the show, it's justwithpod@gmail.com. We would love you to. And this is an email from a few weeks ago, about a month ago, from Martin G.
Martin G.
Hey, Claire and James, I'm a 30-year-old writer from Sweden, and last night I dreamt that the three of us were in a thruple.
That sounds awful.
Sounds terrible. It wasn't sexual, even romantic. Phew. But we were going to raise a kid together. Bold. Don't know how I ended up in that situation, but there I was. We went to the store to buy food for our one-year-old. James suggested spaghetti. I asked, do we one-year-olds eat spaghetti? You both looked at me like I was stupid, and Claire said, yeah, that's like the one thing they eat. It was clear that I was the least experienced parent, and I got the sense that maybe you were both starting to regret having a kid with me. I knew that Claire, in my dream, had another son from a previous marriage.
Oh.
And she told me that at his christening, her son had gotten married to a mountain goat. I surmised that this was considered a very good thing in Australian culture, since now if he ever went through a rough patch in life, at least he would always have a goat.
That's so true.
I didn't want to be rude or question this Australian tradition by laughing or asking the wrong thing. So I asked Claire if she was the one who picked out the goat for her son. The mood quickly turned sour. Claire made an excuse and stormed off, leaving me and James in an awkward silence. I asked James if I said something wrong, and he explained that Claire's ex and his new wife had picked out the goat without her and that it was a sensitive subject. Very complex. Now Claire is going to be in a bad mood for days. James is clearly annoyed with me for being so inconsiderate.
Sounds like me.
Well, yeah, I mean, you are technically, your go-to emotion is annoyed. So I got on my bicycle, the kind of bike where you sort of lie down while riding. And I rode off through the park.
I hate those bikes.
I know. It's
so... I always feel like I'm going to squash the people where I ride those. Yeah.
Bold. I ran over quite a few people since I've never driven one of those in real life. That was the dream. Last few months I've been going through a breakup, moving out of my girlfriend's apartment while working late hours to finish my new book. Although I had no mountain goat to turn to during this rough patch, your podcast has really helped me, as your banter and love for each other made me remain hopeful that there is somebody or somebodies out there for me, who I will one day have just as much fun with as you guys. Thank you for your awesome pod, Martin.
I think you're going to be all right. And look, if that doesn't work out, you can always come and live with us.
Yeah, just make sure you bring a mountain goat.
Yeah, yeah.
But let me have a say in who you choose.
Please, if you
can. Oh, I'll be cross. All right, so that's Suggestible Podcast. That's it for another Weeky Woo.
Next week, Halloween episode, Claire. Spooky things.
Fuck that. I've already bloody done that. I don't have to do that for another friggin' year. But I did say I would watch The Thing and I still haven't done it.
You got to watch The Thing.
I know, I said I would. All right.
You got to watch it.
I know everyone was saying, Claire, what's going to happen when she watches The Thing? No, what's going to happen? I'm never going to sleep again.
Great.
But I did say I would watch it, so I need to follow through. Yes, correct. Exactly. Well, we are almost into the Christmas season, James.
Oh, God.
I'm so excited. Have you noticed I've been sneaking Christmas in already?
Have you?
I have. I've been sneaking it in.
I haven't noticed anything. Oh, where have you been sneaking Christmas?
I've been doing Christmas recommendations for
presents. Oh, into the show. I thought you meant into our life. I'm like, yeah, you probably have. I don't know.
Oh, no. I haven't put out the decorations yet. I'm not a maniac.
You are a maniac.
It's only November.
Let's go.
Okay. Thanks to Collings for editing this week's episode.
Sorry we for have yelling, been to podcast. Collings would have fixed that yelling that I just did, but he would have got blasted by it. But yeah, sorry, apologize.
Sorry, mate. I know. It's terrible. So long.
So long.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.